safe out there.
Don't fuck this up, you magnificent cunt.
Of Lee. I can't stop laughing. This is episode 104, and this is the podcast where we talk all things video games. I'm Nicole.
I am Kim.
I am Stephanie.
And the clip that you heard at the top of the show, we're going to start doing a little something. We're going to play a little video game clip at the top of the show because holy moly, did that make me laugh. That was from Wolfenstein, right?
Wolfenstein, yes.
So Stephanie found that, and yeah. Oh my.
That's brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
I almost want to play it again.
Who was the voice actor for that? Do you know?
How about Gideon Emery?
Is it?
That's Fenris.
Oh
yes.
My God.
From Dragon Age. I didn't even know it was him until I looked it up. I was like, oh my God. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Did he just say that?
I know, right?
Because if you're playing Wolfenstein, that's his character. He swears like left, right, and sideways. And he's hilarious.
Oh,
love
my
it.
God. That cracked me up. All right. Well, if you haven't figured it out, we talk about video games on this on this show.
This isn't a cooking show?
No.
Wait, okay.
Not a cooking show, not a sewing show, not any. Mm-mm. We play video games, and we've been playing a number of pretty cool video games lately, including Wolfenstein, The New Order, mm-hmm. Watch Dogs, the mm-hmm. new episode 4 of Wolf Among Us. A lot of mm-hmm. Wolfenstein, yes. Wolf Among Us.
Yeah. That's what I said. It's like a canine feel to it. It's all dogs and canines.
Who let the dogs out, right? Diablo 3, and what else? Anything else? Some iPhone games.
Yeah, a couple iPhone games.
Yeah, iPhone games and little things like that. So how are you ladies doing?
I'm doing good. Trying not to mess this up.
I know. I can't. Oh, my God. Crack me up. Steph, have you finished Wolfenstein yet?
Not just once, but twice.
You finished both, it. Holy crap.
Both timelines. Yes.
Oh, man. I need to play this game now. If you are enjoying it.
Yes. Okay, so the deal is, at an early point in the game, you have to choose, and that splits the game into what they call timelines. It's either the Fergus timeline or the Wyatt timeline, based on, I'm trying not to spoil this too much, but based on who you save.
Gotcha.
Right? Okay. If I can throw my dollar's worth in, what you just heard is exactly why you should save Fergus. Because he is hilarious. And Wyatt is the exact opposite. He does not swear. He's very straight-laced. He's like, picture a 1950s Parker. Boy Scout who never grew up. That's Wyatt.
Gotcha.
I prefer Fergus. I prefer swearing in my soldiers as I'm hunting and shooting Nazis. Oh.
So was it worth it going back and playing the other timeline? I mean, was it different enough? And then did you enjoy it? Or was it like, just kind of a gimmick?
It was more a gimmick, really. But I didn't mind it because I enjoyed it so much. So the differences are fairly minor. The difference is you upgrade health versus armor. This would be Fergus versus Wyatt. Mm-hmm. You will hack or short circuit electricity versus lockpick. And the people that are in your hideout or resistance group change a little bit. But the ending of the story does not change. So it's really just who do you prefer to have by your side?
Oh, interesting.
The Boy Scouts or the hard cursing, Scottish
SOB
swear box. Oh, I know who I want on my side. Yeah. I want Fergus.
That's funny.
So yeah, and then I went back. And what's cool is playing the second time around, it continues in your count for getting all the collectibles.
Nice.
So it doesn't like start over. So I was able to pick up all the ones that I missed the first time around. So I finished with
completionist.
So I found all the Enigma codes. I found all the hidden collectibles. And when you get all the codes, you unlock different modes of play. So I've unlocked 999 mode. And I can't wait to try that now.
What's that? What's 999 mode?
So you start with 999 health, period.
That's it? And you gotta play the game that way?
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's kind of like a hard, you know.
Yeah, right? Super mode, so. And then when you die, you're dead.
Yeah.
Permadeath.
Right.
Interesting.
I'm assuming.
So I played a little bit more of the Wolfenstein. One of my other favorite guns is like the laser gun.
Oh,
where
yeah.
You just craft point it. Yeah, they're pointed at their head and their head just gets really red. And all of a sudden, you blow up their head. That's so awesome.
So, yeah, you start out early in the game with a laser cutter to help you cut through wires, like fencing. But you can also use it as a weapon.
Yeah. It's awesome.
They're amazing weapons.
That's cool.
So, yeah, once you get a little further, you upgrade to it is actually called the Laser Craftwork, which is like a heavy-duty laser gun. And that one's super awesome because you find a lot of upgrades for it.
Cool.
Yeah, the guns are a lot of fun. I mean, there's nothing groundbreaking. It's just so super fun. You know, like dual wielding double.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. Did I scare you? Because I scared the crap out of me. I was pulling up an article and it's stupid. Auto play audio. It really does seem like sites are doing this more and more and more, especially the video game sites, and it's driving me bonkers.
I'm like, for ad revenue? Because I'm thinking that's what it must be.
My heart is racing. That scared me so bad. Sorry, I'm sorry. Continue, Stephanie. I'm not going to touch anything.
Okay, all right. So yeah, it's really just a whole lot of fun. I mean, as much fun as killing Nazis is, that is exactly what this game was. There is it was a nice balance when I played the Fergus timeline, because there was Fergus, my humor, and then there was the main character, Blaskowitz, who he has a very heavy storyline. His is much more serious. So I enjoyed having that counterbalance, you know. Like, at one point, Fergus is trying to direct the people, and he doesn't know their names, or he hasn't bothered to learn their names, and he just says, head wound, broken feet, go over there. And I'm like, oh, I love you. Whoever's writing your lines, I love you. Because, it was just hilarious. So, yeah, there's a lot. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of serious, heavy stuff in the game. A lot of adult content and very, very gory and gross torture at some points in the game, later in the game. So definitely not for little kids.
Well, I don't think anybody would think this game is for little. Even the older one, those were like pretty graphic.
Yeah.
Did you get to the point where you slept and you could go through the thing? That was a trip, wasn't it? That was awesome. So much fun.
Well, speaking of gore and kind of torture, let's move over to Wolf Among Us, because all three of us played this. I am to the point where as soon as it's announced, I'm playing it that day.
No way, for sure.
And finishing and finishing it that day.
Yes. Right. I mean, that's a one cent sitting thing. And I got to say, this one was amazing.
Yeah,
because it was totally different than the rest of them. I mean, the story is really progressed in this one, and you're like, wow.
Yeah.
I have no idea where it's going.
You're getting introduced to some new characters.
I had a slightly different feel, though, that I felt like they were throwing too many things out, and I was really dying for the story to progress, and they just kept throwing more weird tangents out at me. Like, all I wanted to do was get to it.
Yeah, but it's going to come there's only one more episode left.
Exactly, there's one episode left. You're going to tie up all these loose ends?
They will. I think they will. I think it'll all come together. But here's the thing. The scene that I'm talking about, I mean, it's disgusting. I mean, the problem was, I played I played the game at lunch, so I have a Memorial Day just happened. I had a big, a couple slices of brisket, and I'm like, God, I'm closing my eyes. I'm having lunch. I can't watch this scene because it's just so gross.
I was eating a burrito when I played. So, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And I was having flashbacks to The Walking Dead episode one, where something very similar happens to our Clementine. And I was grossed out by that as well. So, dissimilar coming from that company.
Yeah.
So are we going to do spoilers at the end?
We can, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So stick around if you want to hear us talk about more spoilery type of stuff.
But I got to say that the Walking Dead, even though I loved the first one, it dragged sometimes, whereas I don't feel like this one has dragged at all. I mean, I have like really enjoyed, and it's like over too soon. I'm like,
even though you've read some of the fables, but not all.
I have,
them, right?
Yeah. A couple though.
But I love that it's able to stand alone on its own for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For me, I know the world. I've been in this world for a while, and I'm just loving being in that world and interacting with everyone and learning backstories. And there's just it's almost infinite the number of stories they can tell in this world.
Right.
Because if you think fables, I mean, it's any story that's ever told.
Yeah. At this point, we're getting into urban legends heavily. I mean, not fairy tales. This is urban legend.
Well, I don't know.
Jersey Devil is an urban legend.
Is he? Yeah, I think.
And
because I know we were talking about Bloody Mary, and there
go
was,
devils.
I know we were talking about Bloody Mary, and I think she was part of a nursery rhyme.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know,
yes, the bring around the rosy, isn't it?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Right? Yeah, we were talking about that.
So another thing that I was surprised by was at the end they give you the stats, and they were like almost all of them, like 50%, 50%, 50%.
Not when I did it.
Really?
I was at, when I did it, almost every one of mine were 13% what I did.
I did. Yeah.
Everyone else did the opposite.
I was at
30.
Well, see,
30. I just played it today.
Oh, okay. I played mine yesterday. And so the stats changed that much?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Because when I went through, almost everything was, 40 to 60. And then some of them were like 50%. And I was like, wow. So, I mean, there was a couple that was like a third, and things like that. But
people may be replaying.
And that could be,
mine were severely weighted the other direction. I kept picking things people didn't do.
Me too. Yeah. except for one, which was more, like you were saying, Kim, 50-50.
Yeah.
But for the most part, and I played it on the day it was released. So I played it on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like 30-70. I'm like, oh, wow. I thought it was interesting. I was picking on the stuff nobody else would pick.
Right? Exactly.
But see, here's the interesting thing. I know Bluebeard, and I know him in the story, and I hate him. And
sure.
And if you don't know him from the comic, you might think he might be a good guy. He's just looking out for the town, right?
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm with it. My gut feel is he's just a really bad guy. But I'm thinking, okay, is there a twist or something?
Right.
I don't know. And I like that I don't know, that I'm kind of like,
kind of like with Flycatcher. Yeah, you were thinking that with Flycatcher too, weren't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was it. That's kind of a nice little twist that, because I don't know, I'm intrigued by it.
It was
the whole game gives you that feeling of I can't trust anyone.
Yeah.
Like every time they open their mouth, I can't trust what they're telling me. Even when I know the person is good at heart, like say Beauty and Beast.
Right.
I know they're not bad, but I also know they're keeping stuff from me.
Right.
They're not telling me the truth.
Right.
They're being deliberately deceitful.
Right.
And so that gives a bad taste in your mouth.
Well, stay tuned, and we'll talk all about episode 4 at the end of the show. It was on sale. The game was on sale midweek on Steam. So
again,
it was like $14. I'm like, If you haven't got it, pick it up. It's so good.
Seriously, get
so
it.
So good. Also, on Tuesday, Watch Dogs came out, and I pre-ordered it from Amazon because I wanted all those bonuses, but then I didn't get it until Wednesday. I didn't get it on release because I guess the holiday or something, but I don't know.
Oh, right. Shipping delays.
Yeah, so whatever. But I started playing it. And Stephanie, you're playing it too? What are you playing it on?
PS4.
You're playing on PS4? Yeah, I decided to pick it up for the PS4 just because I haven't really played anything on the PS4. Right?
That's pretty much what we were meant to play, well, back in October?
Yeah, right?
On launch.
Yeah.
Or November.
Yeah. All right. So
8 months later, here we are.
So I've talked about this game on the Final Score. I'm really curious how your experience is, Stephanie, because you played through GTA 5, didn't you?
I didn't finish it, but I certainly played it. You played it
a hell of a lot more than I did. Yeah. Like, I didn't enjoy it at all, and I was just like, eh. And to me, Watch Dogs is GTA meets Person of Interest meets, you know, that show, Person of Interest.
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly.
It's totally that show.
I was gonna say, I don't remember a game.
No, there's no game like that. It's a TV show. It's like Person of Interest, the TV show, meets Grand Theft Auto. What else would be in there? But even, you know, the little hacker slash game that I'm playing.
Right.
Where you're able to hack
everything.
Yeah, hack everything and change it. So I'm really curious how you're enjoying it and how far have you gotten so far?
Let me tell you, the first hour that I played, I realized that I was sitting there with a huge scowl on my face. Like I was frowning the whole time. And I had to stop and take a break and figure out what is really upsetting me about this game. And I can tell you from the beginning, it was two words, information overload.
Yes.
Like so much was being thrown at me.
Yes.
Look at this. 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 Now go do this. Now get in a car and drive like an a-hole. No, I don't want GTA 5. I don't want that.
I didn't either. I'm like, I'm killing everybody.
Yes, exactly.
Did you see that I streamed the first 2 hours of my gameplay on Twitch, and I think I still have it. I was going to play a little bit of it because it's basically me driving and going, oops, sorry, oops, sorry, oops, sorry.
And then you see that civilian injured.
Oh, I know.
Civilian killed.
And there's karma, too.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Oh, that sucks.
Your rating goes way down.
Yeah, when you have to drive and you're bad at the driving and it affects your karma, that sucks.
Yeah.
I was so desperate to get out of those driving missions fast as possible because I hated every second of them. I was like, this is not what I want to do in this game.
Well, and
I ran a lot because one of the first things I noticed was I tried to jack a car and they called 911 on me.
I'm like, oh, this is not GTA.
I finally figured out that I can summon cars.
Yeah.
But then you can't do that while you're in a mission, right? So I started a mission with my cool car, failed the mission, and then I couldn't resummon a car. I was like, well, this stinks.
Yeah.
What the heck? Now I have to jack a car and then have the cops call to me before I even finish the mission? No, thank you. So, and then I had to, like, search, how do I quit this mission? Because I really didn't want to do it.
Right, right.
Ugh. Like, I had to stop an armored car with two support vehicles with guys heavily armored with machine guns. And I just barely started this stupid game. I have like no points in anything. I was like, you've got to get me out of this mission because this is way over my skill level at this point.
You figured it out, right? Because eventually I did too. I'm like, oh, I got to hit the, you know, not the start button.
Yeah. And can I just say for options. The PS4 controller, two things. One I like and one I hate. I really dig that you can plug a headset into the controller.
Yeah, me too.
Yes.
Love that. Because I hate having the TV on when I'm the only one listening to it. So just let me have my headphones on and it's right on the controller. Love that. Hate the option button where it's located. Mm-hmm. I constantly have to stop and look at the controller and push it with my fingernail. Because otherwise I'm hitting the big pad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Me
too. But that's stupid.
Can you remap it?
No, it's the actual button. That's the option button on your PS4 controller. Yeah. It's that tiny, tiny little
sliver button. In the top right.
Yeah,
right of your...
Because the other one is share.
Which I never use.
Which, yeah. So, like I said, I did Twitch for a little while, and it was just comical. It was so... ridiculous.
And here's another just weird thing that I was playing. I was playing it last night, and I was racking up money by hacking people, that just random people walking down the street,
Me too.
And then I started thinking, I am a complete jerk for doing this. Why am I taking money from innocent people? Why am I doing this?
And it's not like you can stop it either, because the whole point of when you go into that mode, you're looking for crime. You're like a vigilante, and you're
that's
looking,
what I'm supposed to be.
So you're listening.
But I
in,
was the criminal.
Yeah, exactly. You're listening in on calls. You're reading people's texts, and you're looking for an opportunity to, you know, quote unquote, save someone. And while you're doing it, you're invading people's privacy, and you are
stealing
money. And you don't have an option, as far as I could tell, of not stealing the money.
Right.
And you unlock songs and different things like that, and different cars. And so the more people you scan, the more you open up in the game, which you were talking about information overload. I found myself, that's all I was doing.
Yeah, exactly. Because like, it was something I could focus on
instead
of all the other things that they were trying to throw at me. Like, and then random people would try and hack me too, which...
Oh, I didn't, you know, that didn't happen to me.
Yeah. So when you're playing, other players can find you and hack you.
Like,
you have to find
real
them.
Players or
yeah, real players.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That happened to me twice.
Really?
And here's a little tip. If it happens, look for an elevated L station. That's generally where the people are hiding out. It's because you can't go inside and up buildings, so they're either going to be on the ground
right,
or they'll be on an elevated L station platform. That's generally where they're hanging out. If somebody's hacking you, that's where they are.
What do you got to do? I don't understand. What are they doing by hacking you? Taking your money?
They're trying to hack your phone and quote unquote get information. So the game is you have to find them before the bar reaches 100%. Right? So you have an area mapped on your
phone. Shoot them? What do you do?
You capture them or shoot them, I guess, if you're.
I'd shoot them.
I got to tell you, I can't shoot for crap in this game. Like my very first. Go save the person. There's a crime about to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I see them. They're talking, you know, and I see the thing. It says, intervene. So I pull my gun, shoot the innocent victim.
Oh, gosh.
The dude gets in the car. I shoot him. Like, somebody calls 911. Now I'm gonna, I have to call
exactly.
The cops. I was like, what the heck is going on? I didn't want to kill him. Yeah, I can't shoot for crud. And you can't run and shoot either. Like, you slow down to, like, almost walking when you try and run and shoot.
Yeah, just there's some jankiness to it.
Yeah, there's some really weird things. Like, why would you be able to hack a bomb that's on a guard? Like, why would I be able to do that?
Right.
Who would build weapons that somebody could hack into? That makes no sense to me at all. Like, that was one of the things that
world is, like, digital, though.
Think about it as an army. I'm building grenades. For my soldiers,
mm-hmm.
Why would I put something in those grenades?
I don't know that technology.
Allow someone
maybe
to remotely trigger them.
But it might be the technology in them. Maybe they do it so they can do it. I can't do it so they can do it. You know.
Yeah. But like, for example, super secure computer servers don't have USB ports because they know that you can put something in there to override it. So even if you have the best electronic security. Social engineering will get around that, right? Mm. Somebody will always be able, because we're humans and we built them, therefore we are the weak link. It's not the computer, it's us.
Yeah.
And most of the missions are, hey, I can hack in as long as you can physically get me into the building. Well, there you go. There's your social engineering. I have to physically get into the building.
So did you download the mobile app?
I did, but I haven't done anything with him.
So the whole premise...
This feels deceptive that you want me to put something on my phone when the whole game is, look how much I can hack with my phone.
That's true. It's a whole... We're going to be all paranoid now.
Right? Like, what's that app doing?
Well, this network, so the app is called CTOS Mobile.
Right,
and if you just go in the App Store and look up Watch Dogs,
you need a better name for that.
Yeah. But that's the network that you're on in the game. Mm-hmm. And what the hell is our guy's name? He's the
Aiden.
Is his name Aiden? Okay.
Yes. So, because that's the other weird thing is the voice acting kind of throws me off a little. Does it throw you off?
I didn't really think much about it.
Like his maybe it's the accent. I'm hearing that French Canadian accent. There's something about both him and the bad boy 17 other hacker The voices. The voices just kind of throw me off a little.
Well, that voice is all garbly and weird.
But even when they're not garbled, I kind of, it's like I'm straining to latch onto something, and I honestly can't quite figure out what it is.
And I'm still I'm not even sure what my goal is in the game. I do know you learn you're in this football stadium, and you're beating somebody up for information,
right?
And you then find out your niece has been killed, and I don't know.
Right. So the premise of the story is that you how many years ago? 3 years ish? No, a year ago. Because they talk about the birthday. So a year ago, you were part of a hacking team, right? Okay. And you were on a mission, a job that went bad. So you were the muscle. The other dude is running the hack. Gotcha. And the hack goes bad.
Oh,
and
okay.
You want to get out, but your teammate says, no, stay, and I'll fight this guy. And then it all goes to crap. And so as revenge by the person who found you hacking, you driving your niece and your nephew, your car was attacked and your niece died in the car accident.
Okay.
That's your revenge. But even that feels so weak because they kept throwing names of the family members at me and I really couldn't, again, it was so much information overload that I couldn't function. I couldn't figure out who these people were. They kept saying, Lena, that's the niece who's dead.
Okay.
Nicole
is his sister.
Correct.
Okay.
And then there's the nephew who is still alive.
If you're listening, it's going, wow, it just sounds confusing. It is. It's a very fractured game.
It's very confusing.
Like, I could tell the developers wanted to give me options, but I feel like they gave me too many options too soon. Like they should have spaced it out a bit.
And then there's this whole crafting thing.
And
I can't get the hang of that at all. Like the selection wheel feels very, very clunky to me. And again, like I said, I can't run and shoot, and I can't run and craft, and I can't really flip between how to craft different things yet, because I think you have to unlock them. But it doesn't explain that you can't craft that right now because you don't technically know how to do it. And yet it shows up on my menu.
Right.
Like, hey, you can craft this cool thing that you have all the mats for. But no, you can't because it's not unlocked yet.
Kim, have we convinced you to play Watch Dogs yet?
I have no idea what the game is. I mean, right. I know there's hacking, but it's very confusing. I don't know what is going on.
The premise is that in this futuristic Chicago, literally every single utility and function and business and cell phone and anything electronics is now tied to one system, CTOS. And you, as the hacker, have the ability to hack it. So you can literally explode steam pipes, make electronics explode,
hack people's cell phones. I don't get
grenades blow up.
What the object is, or well, what the exactly, game. Like,
there's a main storyline.
Is it uncovering some sinister plot? Is it just being a jerk and getting as much money as you can? Probably.
And I just wonder if the developers said, you know, we want to make this. I almost feel like they're trying to make it everything to everyone.
Right.
But as they're doing that, I mean, it's getting good scores. I mean, it has like a 4-star out of 5-star rating on it.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at Metacritic, 81 out of 100. I mean, it is there are times where I'm like, wow, this is a cool, like, that's cool. Like the subway system. That's honestly, that's the only way I lost the police. I got on a freaking subway car.
Yeah, losing the police is rough. Seriously rough.
Yeah, it is. It's really hard.
And that's why I hate jacking cars when they're going to call the cops on me. And I was like, I don't want to do a police chase right now.
I immediately flash back to Assassin's Creed. I'm like looking for my wanted poster on the wall.
Right.
How do I get rid of these stupid stars? And that's not clear. I'm like, do I just kind of try to go somewhere where they can't see me? And then, I don't know. It's there are going to be people out there that really love it and get deep into it, because there are a lot of Easter eggs. Like when you're scanning people's faces, there's some comedy in that. It's interesting, but like you, Steph, I'm just overwhelmed by everything, which is causing me to kind of not want to do anything.
Right. Or just focus on one thing.
Yeah.
Like scanning the people and looking for funny things.
I think what I need to do is just follow the storyline and forget about everything else around me. Like,
right.
Find.
That's what I'm doing. I'm like, whenever a mission's up, okay, let's do that.
Yeah.
That story mission. And then I'll.
And maybe it'll get easier at that point, because I know I feel the same way when I first go into a Fallout game. I'm like, whoa, there's so many things I can do. Mm-hmm. And it takes a while.
It is a curse of being an open world,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, you can literally go anywhere and do anything.
Right.
But as soon as you stick to the storyline, I hope it gets better. I'm hoping.
Yeah, because I think in at least Fallout and Skyrim, you knew that there was a story there, and you knew what the main storyline mm-hmm. was.
Right.
Right.
You may not have understood it completely yet, but you knew it was there. So do you feel that way, that you know what the main storyline is?
I feel like it's bigger than him at this point. Like,
yeah.
Even when you dream, like, you go into like a rest mode, and I'm not even sure why you need to, but you have weird fractured digital
yeah, can
dreams.
I just say that really super annoying to me.
That was annoying.
When he was flashing back to the accident where his niece died, I was like, please end this, because I can't stand this anymore. I'm going to get epilepsy from watching this. It was seriously that irritating.
I thought there was something wrong with my TV for a minute.
Right, exactly. It was so hard to watch. I was like, please don't do that.
Yeah.
You're trying to be cool for cool's sake. Please don't do that. Don't need it.
All right, well, let's move on. I've been playing more Diablo 3. I'm on a mission to kick some butt and finish the the expansion.
Right.
And I was playing a lot today, and I unlocked a number of achievements and got a couple levels. I'm like, oh, I think my problem is I've been waiting for my husband to play, and he's not really into it. So I'm like, I'm just going to sit down and kick butt, and that's what it did.
Now remind me, because I get the feeling that I finished Act 5, but I'm not quite sure that I did. I think I did. This has actually been a while.
I would think you would know.
Can you describe what Act 5 is? Because I think I finished it.
I haven't finished. I know I haven't finished it, but you're going after death, right, Kim?
Yeah, you're going after death. So you're gathering all the information you need to figure out, you know, who's actually doing this and where to find death. And then you finally get up there and you...
Yeah. And then you come across the concept that you, as a living person, cannot end death.
Yeah.
So don't spoil it. Don't spoil it for me. I'm not done yet.
I did like the cool revelation that they did about the origin of people, mm-hmm. humans.
Oh.
That was kind of cool.
Actually, and the ending of Act 5 is really cool. I liked the ending of it a lot.
It felt a little short, though, considering it was an expansion. Didn't Act 5 feel a little short?
It did, but you have adventure mode after that.
Yeah.
And that's what really is nice about, I think, the expansion, is you do have that adventure mode. And adventure mode is kind of fun, because if you just like to go and kick butt and just, you know, see how high, you know, get into those insane modes where, you know, it's super, super hard, that's when you can do it. And you've got very short objectives. You know, your objective mm-hmm. may be just go kill this one thing, and you can go straight to it and kill it, or you may have to kill 500 things and that one mm-hmm. thing. So, you know, it's different objectives, but it really helps you. It's kind of nice to just, okay, I feel like playing for 10-20 minutes.
Right.
So that's, I really like adventure mode like that.
I'm looking forward to getting more into it.
So I like I said, that story that's part of Act 5 of why. So in the end of Act 4, when we kill Diablo, ooh, it's the end of evil, except for this piece. Don't let anything bad happen to this piece. Oh, look,
it's like
this piece.
It's like Time Bandits.
Right? Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Where did that one little piece of evil go?
It's in the toaster. Watch out.
So I liked their concept of why death was trying to kill all humans. Kill all humans! Was because they explained that we were the creation of angels and demons. So every single person has a piece of a demon in them.
Mm.
And that's what his goal is, to eradicate all demons.
Oh.
therefore all humans.
Oh, right, right, right.
So I liked that explanation of, because generally it's just, oh, I want power, so I'm going to kill you. But no, this guy actually has a mission. He has a goal. Look, okay, it sucks. I'm going to kill you guys, but this is my goal. I'm getting rid of all the demons.
I'm a very focused angel.
Exactly. And that tends to be what their deal is, right? Yeah. They're very narrow-minded and they don't see shades of gray. They see black and white. This is us versus them.
Right.
And this particular person, Death, is saying, look, this is what I'm doing. I'm getting rid of all the demons. The humans happen to be part demon. Therefore, they have to go. And then, of course, there's Tyrion saying, oh, no. I'm on their side now.
I will save you. You have been saved. All right. Well, let's move on. We got some iPhone games to talk about. Let's see. I don't have any iPhone games. I'm still playing the same crap as always.
Me too. Me too. I haven't moved on because I've enjoyed my games. So I'm like, I don't feel like moving on.
So, Steph, what is this Crabble? Crabble?
Crabble.
Crabble.
Right. Crabble.
Crabble.
So it is it's for the iPhone, but of course you can install it on your iPad. Mm-hmm. And it's this cool mix of Scrabble and Tetris.
Weird.
Right? So letters are dropping and you have to make words as the screen is filling up.
Oh, that sounds stressful. And,
right? It is very stressful. But there are different modes that you can unlock. You know, like there's a mode where you have to use ones that have the same point value to build letters, to build words. So if you like that kind of, you know, boggle kind of how many letters can I make in a certain time frame, then this is actually a pretty cool game. And, you know, there's no ads in it and it's free. So I'm enjoying it. It's kind of cool.
I try. I'll check it out.
It's got little bombs to destroy the letters when it gets too full. So it's not like I have no choice. But the letters, they just keep falling. There's no pause button.
And then
so make little words.
And then we've talked about Infinity Blade 2 on this show. It's free.
Yes.
Why it is it free? Is it free for a limited time or just
as far
free?
As I know, no, it is. They've decided it's free.
Interesting.
They're probably working on another one.
Yeah.
But this is one of the first games that was like the next gen breaker.
Right.
It said, look, you have to have an iPad 2 or higher. It will not run on the original. Right. So this was one of the first ones that used the you know, their upgraded graphics. And of course it's brilliant looking. So
it's nice.
It's a huge game.
I don't like this game.
I don't like it either. And I have it and it will not run very well on my iPad 2.
Yeah. Right. Because who's the minimum?
Obviously, but 2 with iOS 7 sucks anyway, and then putting a game like this on it just sucks even more. So I would not get – I mean, it's free, so it's not going to cost you anything. But I wouldn't get it if you have – iPad 3 or above I would go with, because even iPad 2, I need a new iPad.
They put this game – we have a local like bowling alley with a little arcade next to it, and they have this and Fruit Ninja on – big old screens that you pay for and you swipe. I'm like, oh, I hate the swiping.
Swiping.
Give me a control and let me use my sword that way.
Right.
Yeah. And then there's a free PS4 game.
Yes.
What game is that?
So it's called Stick It to the Man.
Stick It to the Man.
And the name does not give you any idea what this game is, right? So I looked at it and I was intrigued because of the art design, because it has a really unique looking kind of like a 3D cardboard kind of. Do you remember that game Pandemonium? It was a time management game with the graveyards and the embalming stuff. Anyway, it had that kind of feel that it was kind of like a cardboard two-dimensional or three-dimensional feel. Anyway, so the artwork is very unique, and one of the first things that threw me is, hey, you move to the left. You don't move to the right.
Right.
Which is really just kind of messes with your head when that's what you're used to. I mean, literally 99.9% of all games, a platformer, I'm going to move to the right. No, this one you move to the left.
Interesting.
And the weird part, I mean, it gets weird very, very quickly, where he apparently has a head injury and we're now in his brain, subconscious, while he imagines weird things happening. And the weird thing, the weirdest thing, is a huge red or pink rubbery hand that comes out of his head. And that's what you use to interact with things.
Oh, weird.
It is super weird. Super weird. But it's a free game on the PS4, so it doesn't hurt to try it out, right?
Beggars can't be choosers on the PS4 right
now. That's right.
Exactly.
It's a free platformer, and it looks interesting, but like I said, it gets weird very, very quickly. Mm. So
interesting.
Take it with a grain of salt.
Okay.
we said we wanted more games.
You know,
we're getting more games.
I just read something. Let's move over to internet news. Mm-hmm. I read something about the PlayStation Plus. Did you see this news?
No, huh?
That they're going to start changing the terms of games, and there's going to be a time limit on how long you get games.
See, I'm not surprised with that whole PlayStation Now.
Yeah, I'm not surprised either.
I'm not surprised. But it does kind of bum me out.
I don't know, because I don't go back and play those games a whole lot that I download. Yeah. So, it's really not that big a deal.
But I've downloaded ones and I haven't gotten around to playing them yet.
Maybe this will give you a reason too, though.
Yeah, like does my timer tick from when I download it or when I play it?
I think the way it's going to work is you get Borderlands 2 for free for 3 months, and at the end of the 3 months, at the end of December.
What if it's 30 days?
Well, it would be maybe it's just for the month then.
Right.
So
is that still a deal?
I don't know.
I'm thinking that it is.
I don't know. I played the hell out of Borderlands 2 in a month. Right,
not for 30 days. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't really – I guess I go in waves.
Yeah.
And if I really wanted the game that much, maybe I should just go buy it.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I think that's what they're trying to combat, because there's this – they've created a psychology in its user base to where some people are like, well, I'm not going to buy that. I'll just wait for it to be on Plus.
Yeah, no. I would never think that, because their selection is so small.
Well,
it's
seriously
only like one game.
The PS3 is not
stagnant. The other two just completely stay the same.
Well, that's on the PS4. Yeah. That's on the PS4. On the PS3, it was very dynamic, and there were tons of games. And
sure, because they want people to keep playing it.
Even when the PS3 was in its prime, they had really good games on PlayStation Plus for free. And I mean, I filled up my hard drive multiple times and had to go delete them because there were so many games. So, I mean, but I don't play those games. I'll try it and I'll play it for a while, but those usually aren't the games that I go back to. And if it is a game that I want to keep going back to, then I'll buy it, you know? So I don't see it as a bad thing, really.
I almost think it might be a good thing for it. Like I said, it's going to encourage people, instead of just hoarding and collecting games they're never going to play, maybe they'll actually start playing them.
So Steam. Yeah. Because how many games do we have on our Steam accounts that we have never touched?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm trying. Yeah. I try and make an effort to clean those games out.
And then
clean it house.
Steph, did you find this timeline?
Yes.
Holy moly.
Yeah, this is really cool.
It's very cool. So I found, completely by accident, I just stumbled upon it, this timeline that this person created, which actually fleshes out exactly the timeline of particularly BioShock. He made a separate one for Columbia. This is Rapture's history.
Oh, interesting.
From the birth of Andrew Ryan to, the events that caused him to have the idea of Rapture, to its initial building, how all the different people come into play, and, of course, its eventual demise.
Oh, it's so cool. Like, you're scrolling down, and it's just – I'll put a link in the show notes if you want to see this. But you're going through each year, and there's images and commentary, and this is awesome.
Exactly, and it does take you back and give you a feel of, oh, yeah, this is how it happened. This is the progress of how it happened. So,
cool.
It was a very interesting role. There's some typos.
Yeah.
I'll just warn you. But, it was an amazing effort by this person. So,
I was artifact.
Very pleased. Artifact.
It's spelled that. That's the English version of artifact.
Well, he also misspells Atlas a couple times. So. I really enjoyed this kind of trip back. What's nice is he includes Minerva's Den, which hardly anybody played. That was a DLC for BioShock 2.
Oh, that's right.
Which explained how the computer system was built for that ran Rapture.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Very, very cool.
And there was an article that came out earlier. Wait a minute, what's today? Yeah, earlier this week on Wired that caught my attention. Kim, did you put this in the show notes?
Did you?
Okay, so yeah. Did you read this article?
I did.
Because I thought it was really well written. It's why online gamers make players act like psychopaths. and you see a title like that, it kind of feels like clickbait, but then you start getting into it. And the author of the article profiles a couple of different players, specifically in DayZ, and then I think they go into Rust as well. Yes. And these are games that don't have an objective, really. They're survival games. And kind of the psychology, and I think the author of the game had a friend, like they were in DayZ, and a girl came up and he helped her, but then his friend came up and killed her. And he's like, dude, why'd you do that? He's like, oh, it's fun. He's like, yeah. I look at my friend differently now.
Right.
So.
But I totally agree with this stuff because like seeing my son play online games, even World of Warcraft, versus me playing it, he'll be doing stupid things. So maybe he won't be killing people, but he'll go. And one of his favorite things used to be to go hide in Stormwind someplace that, was like way out of the way, and then just spam globally, come find me, 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 come find me. The most annoying crap in the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why are you doing that? You are acting like a freaking psychopath, you little, poop. Right. And because they've got this audience or they have this, I mean, there's different reasons, but
it's an interesting view on, when you have no real I mean, this is a digital world. There's not really much consequence for the things that you do, right?
In this particular article, he talked to one of the developers, or he read an interview that the Rust developer did, and they said, why do you think these people are acting like this? And he said, all we did, we didn't set rules, we just gave them tools.
Right.
And we let them do whatever they want to do. And mostly, it's out of boredom.
Yeah.
Right? So they're bored. Because there literally is no, hey, I have a quest to do. Let's go do this. I have a mission to do. Let's go do that. They're bored and they're trying to survive. Therefore, these are the things that they're going to do. They're going to make a game out of hunting someone down. They're going to make a game out of how do we decide which one of these three people to kill.
Right.
Well, we're going to make them dance for us and then we're going to shoot them all in the head anyway and take all their stuff.
Or I've seen video where they make them sing their national anthem.
Right. And I have to tell you, as I was reading the article, like I could feel my stomach turning.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is exactly why I don't play these games because this is not the environment I want to hang out in.
And that's the thing. It's their rules, not your rules.
Yeah.
And I think that's what kind of makes it feel icky.
Yes.
Like, why, like, when you go into a game, typically you know what the rules are. They've been defined for you.
Right.
And I know stuff like this, there's some interesting stuff, like, with Second Life and all of those kind of open world. There's no real objective to the game. You get some interesting psychology happening. But you also have a lot of destructive things happen. I mean, even with a game like Eve that has goals and structure, there's a lot of mayhem and you lose a lot of money and can lose a lot of real world money with that kind of behavior.
And when you look at a big Eve battle, most of what happens is somebody's bored.
Yeah,
again, they're just bored.
Yeah.
It's been peaceful for a while. There hasn't been any big fights. So they're just going to go out and pick a fight. And then this huge galactic war breaks out.
What were you going to say?
Or they're going to sit there and say, I'll go invade somebody's corporation and take it over from the inside because there's no rule.
Right.
And this is what I'm going to do to make my own fun.
No. And repercussions. What were you going to say, Kim?
It's like Minecraft, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, people people will go and build these magnificent things. Yeah. And it's not costing them any money, but it's time, it's pride and everything. And you have to lock down your servers and lock down things because random people will just come destroy them. Even when you have a closed group on a server, you have to be careful because even your friends, or maybe not friends, but people that you know online will come and destroy it just because it's there.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, it's. I think it's the same psychology.
I wonder though, and I think it was an episode of Bullshit that was talking about video games. I wonder, though, especially for younger, more angsty kids that want to go out and, you know, before times of video games, you know, they would go out to the local parking lot and destroy something. Seriously, right? I think they've
done
it.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is more therapeutic for them.
Well, I had two boys, you know, I raised two boys together and, you know, and they had video games. One of them had video games way more than the other one did. And little boys are destructive. Mm-hmm. They are just naturally destructive. Right? So, you know, and that could definitely be, you know, a way to release that destruction without actually hurting anybody.
Yeah.
Interesting. Could be. Yeah.
And yet. I'm going to make the choice not to put myself in that environment.
And that's our choice.
Like, I'm not, if that's what the environment is, that these people are going to round you up and make you do stupid things and before they kill you or just hunt you down for no reason. Yeah, I'll pass. Thank you.
Yeah.
I got plenty of other games to play.
The author actually interviewed a guy by the name of John Ronson. And he's the author of The Psychopath Test. Mm-hmm. And he said, one of the ways we keep ourselves moral is to imagine the terrible things we could do and then don't do. You stand on a train platform and think, I could push that person in front of the train. That thought pops in your head and it doesn't make you a lunatic. It makes you a good person because you're actually saying, oh my God, I'm capable of doing a terrible thing, but I would never actually do it. So,
and then what does it say if you do that in a game?
Well, there's, I mean, that's, it's a fake world. I was seeing if he said anything because he was talking to him about it.
I mean, but imaginary. I go and destroy things in games sometimes just because, you know, because I can.
Or the
and
lulls.
That's not something I would do in, you know, in real life. So I don't think it's all bad.
No, I don't think so either. Like no. I said, I think it can be therapeutic for people. It's just you need to know going into that game if you're not, if that's not the game you want to play, you need to know. So.
All right.
Let's move over. We're not streaming live today, so no chat room giveaways. We'll give away some games next week. We do have a couple emails. We have one from Brian. He says, hello, ladies, or elite ladies, new listener here, and I'm quite enjoying the gaming show that isn't a 20-something testosterone fest.
Embrace the estrogen.
You just made the title of the show. Flattery aside, I agree. Metro Last Light, the game, had plot holes big enough for a Boeing Dreamliner. But even though it's too late to rescue it for you, I'd like to try. Number one, the games, Last Light and Metro 2033, both assume you're fans of the novels and get the background. And what's worse, I think, is they assume you've played Metro 2033, even though it's been out of print for quite a while. The Moscow Metro, in large part, meant to actually be the fallout shelter, and at least during the Cold War, was stocked with food, water, and ways to filter the air. If you are Cold War enthusiasts, it's really interesting reading. Number three, I honestly think some of the problems. The problem is Russian doesn't translate well into English. The English translators I've read seem oddly formatted. Romance languages and English don't get along. Anyhow, I'm really enjoying the show. OG Bieber Box, aka I'm guessing Bieber. Bieber Box, aka Brian. So Brian, thank you so much for your email.
Yes. And he's absolutely true that the game is obviously heavily based on the two books. And even when you're walking through the game, you see the book, both of those books, on bookshelves and tables.
Right, I remember seeing them. Yeah,
everywhere.
It's like, hey, reminder, you need to read the book.
Yeah, exactly. Oops. Hey, did you know? There's a book, too.
We also have an email from Sebastian. He says, hi, ladies. Sebastian from Switzerland. I have a question. You talked last week, or maybe it's been 2 weeks, about Dragon Age 2. I did play Dragon Age 1, but I never dared to buy number 2 because I heard it was bad. But it seems that you did enjoy it. Can you talk about the difference between 1 and 2 and why people said 2 was bad? And just a side note, the Spider Queen is in Act 3 in Diablo 3. Keep up the great work.
She's great.
You are awesome. Thanks for that, Sebastian.
Yay for our fans.
Yes.
So I know I started to play Dragon Age 1. I didn't enjoy it. I was playing it on the console. I thought it was the controls were all wonky and junky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just stopped playing it. When Dragon Age 2 came out, I said, you know, I had such a bad experience on the console with it. I'm going to play it on the PC. And I really enjoyed myself and enjoyed playing that game on the PC. Scott Johnson, who I do the final score with, he did not like 2. And I've heard this too, that most people did not like Dragon Age 2. I can't remember. Kim, did you play 1 and 2 or just 2?
Yeah, I played 1 and 2. And the big difference for me was that there was the menu system changed between 1 and 2. Mm. And the menu system for 2 matched more along the Mass Effect two lines, and I like that menu system a lot better. Plus, I mean, I like the story too in number 2.
I did too.
Which, you know, I liked both of them. They were different mechanically. They were both very different. But yeah, I liked 2's mechanics menu system better.
Yeah, I enjoyed I enjoyed how it played too. How about you, Steph?
Yeah, I played Dragon Age 1. I probably went through the whole story about 3 times.
Really?
And then, of course, because I played it multiple times. And then, obviously, I did play Dragon Age 2 as well. For me, one of the huge differences between 1 and 2 was the scope of the area that you actually played in. 1 was much, much bigger. I mean, seriously, you were going all over the countryside. And 2, you felt almost locked down to the city. Like, and they tried to spin it that, hey, look, this is new, by just making it daytime and nighttime in the same area. Right. And I remember when we were playing it, I didn't mind it. But I can see why when you're comparing it to Dragon Age 1, where I am literally walking through the countryside and I'm exploring different races, and I'm seeing different cities. And my God, the Dwarven City alone, that area is massive in Dragon Age 1. You don't get that in 2. It feels very, very confined when you compare the two. I think the story was a grander scale too on 1 as well. Like you were literally trying to stop an invasion that everyone knew was coming and would destroy civilization. And 2 felt more politicky.
Yeah.
You know, it was the war between the Templars and the mages, and you know, how do we stop it? Yeah. Versus 1, which was, there's this epic evil that's coming. We need to stop it. Mm. And so I think, but it's still, I definitely enjoyed 2. Obviously, I enjoyed 1. So,
Sebastian, you should play it. I think you should play
it. You should definitely play it.
Plus, I think
if for nothing else, then it will whet your appetite for Varric when Dragon Age 3 comes out, because you want to know his backstory. Yeah.
and I think you could probably, if you catch it on sale, I mean, I think I've seen it as low as $5.
Oh, you can get it really cheap, especially the summer sale is coming, in a month or so.
Oh, I got to Google that. Yeah. Summer sale, Steam.
Summer sale,
Steam 2000.
Steam wants to destroy my wallet.
Yeah, when is that officially? Oh, I love it because it's like, When is it? When's the estimate? When is it?
When's your next big sale? Come on.
Well, because I'm sure that there are so many games we still need.
Oh, yeah. I still need Goat Simulator, right? Because I don't have that yet.
Oh, my God. That game maybe just some of those, keeps getting better and better.
Are you still playing Goat Simulator?
Truck Simulator or something. Oh, one of those.
All right. Well, that does it for our show. Thank you so
much. Spoilers.
Oh, we're not done. I got to wrap it up, and then we'll do spoilers.
She's just so excited. She wants to talk.
Well, I just want to make sure that people know.
Oh, yes.
Come on. Yeah. They're coming.
If they've been with us this long, they know it's going to be coming.
We talk a lot.
All right. So just a friendly reminder, if you are in the Salt Lake area, On July 4th and 5th, you should come to Nerdtacular.
Yes.
All three of us will be there. We'll be doing a live Ladies of Leet there, and there'll be a ton of cool stuff going on. There's a comics panel, actually not just panel, there's a whole track for comics, as well as a track for podcasting, and then there's all kinds of fun live recordings and things like that. Mm-hmm. You can find out all the information at nerdtacular.com, as well as the little app that I made that shows you the schedule and all that fun stuff and where you can buy tickets. And of course, Alpha Geek Radio, even though I didn't use you today, this is, we use Alpha Geek Radio to stream live. We're actually moving to Fridays now. So yeah. Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific. So that's 4 p.m. Mountain Time. So you can find all the information of all the great shows at alphageekradio.com. And of course, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code LADIES and get double the memory if you're interested in a Doghouse system, an awesome PC gaming rig. And our resident expert of Doghouse, Kim, just yes. put out an awesome announcement. You want to tell the listeners about it?
Yes. We have partnered up with Blizzard Entertainment, and they have made us some exclusive artwork that one of them, the Horde side, is based on GURP and Henry, which is Scott Johnson's characters from WoW. And the other, the Alliance side, is a Night Elf Druid and her cat form, and they're just amazing, amazing, cool. amazing artwork. They did such a good job. I mean, it's Blizzard quality artwork, yeah. you know, and it's so detailed and so gorgeous. And you can buy those systems now on our website. So go out there and check them out. Just go to doghousesystems.com/blizzard.
There you go.
Very
awesome
cool.
stuff. Yeah, yes. I was looking at those. I was like, I can swap out my panel, right?
You can totally swap out your panel. If you have one of our 600T chassis, our Armor TL chassis, and you want one of these panels, I can definitely get you one.
Do I know somebody inside?
Yeah, maybe you do. You might know somebody who works at Doghouse.
That's awesome. All right. So be sure, again, use that code LADIES. During checkout, and you'll also get a free t-shirt from Slash Loot. So slashloot.com is where you can find cool Ladies Elite t-shirts as well that are our good friend John Funk designed for us. And you can find us online. Stephanie, would you like to tell the listeners how they can send us an email or communicate with us in some form or fashion?
That's right. I don't know Morse code yet, so I'm afraid we have to rely strictly on email or the voicemail.
Exactly.
Here, I'm signing this for us right now, okay?
So you can head over to the awesome website, ladiesofleet.com. And if you do want to leave us a voicemail, which, hey, it does work, you can click on the little flyout tab on the website and leave us a voicemail or send us a regular old lovely email, ladiesofleet@gmail.com. And of course, you can follow all of us on Twitter. There is a Ladies of Leet Twitter account. And then, of course, each of us has our own. Nicole is Nicole Spag. Kim is Just Kim Molly, JustKimolly. And myself, XIAXIAN1.
We do have snail mail, but no one's ever asked for that. You know.
Do we really?
Do we have like an official P.O. box or something?
Yeah, I have a P.O. box. Yeah.
Awesome.
That's awesome. And I just want to do a shout out to Josh. And he did this amazing little avatar for me, my little Ladies of Leet avatar. And I think he's doing them for all of us. And they're so cute. So you should check out my Twitter and look at that. And gosh, Josh, I can't remember your last name. I feel really bad right now. Josh Baldwin. Josh Baldwin. Ooh. Did it for me. And he does some amazing, amazing work. And I'm hoping to do another deal with him that you guys can see more of his work. But thank you so much. I really, really appreciate
it. Your little avatar is so cute. I love your LOL belt buckle.
I know, right? We need to get those. We so need to get those.
Too bad I don't wear a belt.
Right? I know, me too. Me too.
All right. So for all of us here at Ladies of Leet, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk with you soon. Bye, game on.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
know this episode. Oh my god, I was totally like, did that just happen?
Oh, with the for a minute, I was like, what happened in our episode?
No, just on the
bad happened in our recording.
Yeah.
Not that.
So we should probably step back and say that at the end of episode 3, mm-hmm. Big B gets his arm broken.
Correct.
And like he's just blah, torn up completely.
Yes.
And then the Bloody Mary takes what's his face?
Crane.
So they take him, you're not sure what's going on, and then you're basically getting patched up by Swinehart. And yeah. He like does a weird thing with your arm. Is so close up. And it's gross. Oh, it's gross.
So yeah, were you guys able to actually fix your own?
No,
arm?
I was eating.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
You did. Okay, I wasn't able to do mine because again, I was eating too, Nicole. I was eating a burrito, and I didn't. You had to like press a couple of buttons, and I'm like, oh, right. I can't get over there in time to do that. Yep. Oh well. Yeah. So he fixed it for me.
You had to bend it a certain way, and then actually separate. You had to pull your arm forward so that the bone would slide back in. Yeah, it was gross.
It was gross.
Because so, it completely reminded me of.
And it was like flopping and stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, Yeah.
So while he's digging out silver bullets from the pummeling that he took. That I was still very angry about that Snow didn't interrupt it earlier.
So some of the choice, you have to make some decisions again. You can either go to the pawn. So after you talk with Beauty and the Beast, because a little mermaid girl is trying to help you, but she can't. You find out that she can't talk to you because she has a spell. And we kind of knew that.
Yeah.
But the spell is actually in the ribbon around her neck.
Right. But I figured that last episode or the episode before, I was like, that ribbon is definitely has
something.
It's
distinctive because they were all.
Yes. Because they were all wearing. I'm like, and it's like in your face. And I'm like, that ribbon has something to do with it.
Right. Did you try to?
She freaked out when I tried to take it off.
I did too.
She's like, no,
my head will be cut off. So yeah.
Which I was like, oh, that would have been so cool to see, right?
Right? What's gonna happen? So she
does encourage you to go to Beauty and Beast, and you find out more information.
And I was really irritated with the two of them, the way they were pussyfooting around. Like, well, we're used to being royalty. We don't understand.
Yeah.
We're used to a certain way of living. And
yeah, I was annoyed with them, too. I was like, shut up, princess.
Yeah, literally princess.
Yeah, exactly.
So one of the side kind of storylines that happens in the Fable comics is a series called Fairest. Mm-hmm. And they focus on each trade, they focus on a particular female character in the Fable world. So like the first one is Rapunzel, and they do a beauty episode or a beauty one, and you find out a really kind of dark history to her. So of course when I see them now, that's all I think about is her past. And
now, I haven't read the Fairest one, but obviously I've read the other episodes, the other issues.
The Fairest series is amazing. So good.
And again, I was. This goes back to my question about why is everyone poor? When you've read the graphic novels, one of the characters that they talk about is Briar Rose,
right?
But right? I don't
Sleeping Beauty, who, and they actually say this. She was given as a gift, and this is in the story. She was given the gift of wealth that she would never be poor. And they say it in the novel, she could give away all of her money tomorrow and win the lottery the next day. So she could give all of her money away and then be rich the very next day. And all I could think of when I read that line is, why the F isn't she helping everyone then? Why is she sitting in a luxury penthouse when she could be helping these people that are literally living in squalor?
Yeah.
And that really
I didn't really think
me.
About that, huh?
Yeah. They're like, she got all her money on the stock market. I'm like, what the F? She's playing the stock market. And all these people are sitting there going, I don't have enough money to get a glamour.
Right.
And, you know, and I have to literally sell my body in Georgie Porgy's
pudding and pie.
And she's sitting there in a penthouse. I was like, if I saw her on the street, I'd probably, like, really attack her if I was one of the
tables. Yeah, but you really got to wonder, you know, in that kind of situation, did she try to help him in the past and then they just screwed her over? Or, you know, I mean, there's probably so much that could have gone on that, I don't know. You always read like way more into it.
Because, when I see the injustice of the other fables, it really irritates me when I see people complaining. They're living in a penthouse going, oh, but we're so poor.
Yeah.
So did
shut your mouth.
Which way did you guys go?
Which one?
I went to the butcher.
Oh, I went to the pawn shop.
Oh. Okay.
Wow.
Did you ever go to the butcher after the pawn shop?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Went to. And I'm not sure if it helped, or I didn't really see how one way was better than the other.
They made it seem like if you went to one, they'd get rid of the evidence in the other, but I don't think it really.
I don't think it really.
Because I still got the shard, the glass shard, and that was the whole point. I mean, that was the main reason to go, and I still got it even though I went to the pawn shop first.
Yeah. Did you take the money in Crane's?
Of course I did.
I did too. Yeah. And you know what I was hoping it would do? Allow me to give it to Toad.
That's exactly what I thought.
That's exactly why I bring up the Briar Rose thing, right? A little bit of money for these people would help them so much.
Yeah.
And of course I took the money because I knew that they, you know, especially when they were bringing it up, they're like, you know, Snow's being a hard ass saying, look, you guys have to go back to the farm. This is it. You have to go if you don't have the money. And then here they give me a prime opportunity. Look, here's some money in the coat pocket. Well, I'm going to take it.
So when you guys went to the pawn shop, was Toad there?
No.
Okay.
The huntsman was.
All righty. So when I first went to the pawn shop, the Toad was there.
Oh, really?
And I tried to give him money at that time, and he wouldn't take it from me, even though I didn't have enough to actually give him enough to get a glamour. He was like, screw you. And so then I was like, so when I ran into the money in Crane's pocket, I'm like, well, I'm going to take it, and I want to give it to Toad, but I don't know if he's going to take it because he had just turned me down. Mm-hmm. And so when I went back, he took it no problem. And I'm like, wait a minute. Well, you wouldn't take my money before, but you're going to take it now. Is it just the amount of money that you're taking?
I didn't even get an opportunity to give it to him.
You don't have enough money on you.
Did you have an opportunity to give it to him, Stephanie? Because I didn't have an opportunity to give it to him.
In the office.
Yeah. I talked with him.
Yes, chit-chatting with Bluebeard.
I must have just picked the wrong thing then.
So you didn't give it to Toad?
No, there was no option to.
Oh yeah, no, I was able to give it to Toad, even though I had, you know, he had turned me down at the pawn shop.
Interesting. Yeah.
Well, my phrase was something like, you know, we'll make it right. Something like, I didn't admit where the money came from. I just kind of made him think it came from the office.
Right.
And he took it. He's like, all right, well, there you go. So, because he made the point. He's like, look, what about all the damage to my place?
Right.
Nobody's fixed it up. I'm like, here you go. Here's the money. So, I wanted to
give it to him, but I guess I just picked the wrong dialogue because he walked out very happy.
Which is what we got.
Yeah, we got it happy too. So he still walked out happy on you.
Yeah. That's weird. That is weird.
That doesn't make sense, huh?
Yeah.
Huh. Whoopsie. Okay.
But yeah, and then you were you surprised to see Tiny Tim?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks for not calling me Tiny. Yeah.
And so were you guys nice to him the whole time? Did you let him do his job?
I was nice to him the entire time until I got to the door, and then I went in, and apparently I just messed it all up because I didn't let him do his job.
So what happened to you?
Yeah, what happened at the end?
Since you messed it up.
The Crooked Man just said, you know, the Tiny Tim was like, I'm sorry. And he's like, don't worry. Big B doesn't allow you to do your job or some crap like that.
Well, that's basically what he said to us, or to me. He said, and I let him go. You know, I let him do his job the entire time.
Me too. Me too.
And he's like, good job. And, you know, you did a good job, especially because Bigby doesn't always let people do their job. So I don't think it really mattered there. Yeah,
I don't think it did. Yeah. But no. When at the very, very end, did you sit down to talk?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, you didn't. I did. I was curious. Nope.
That was one of the choices that nobody did.
I did.
I said, at this point, I was seriously frustrated. I was like, I need to hear from their mouth exactly what the heck is going on. No more of this, oh, I think I know what's going on. No, I seriously, just tell me. Because, and then we'll deal with it.
Because what you find out in the butcher shop is that the Crooked Man is basically running an underground glamour ring, you know, right. Magic ring. And right. Magic ring. And the entire town is involved in it.
Yes.
And that's why a, you know, quote unquote good person like Tiny Tim is working for the guy.
Right.
Because there's no other options for them.
Right. Exactly. So he brings up the point that everybody needs something and the Crooked Man can get them what they need.
Right.
And then there was an interesting chart on the wall about things it listed people mm-hmm. and then things that they needed or could supply, and it just had initials next to them. So it seems like each fable has a characteristic or something mm-hmm. that is needed for the glamour,
right?
For whatever glamour is needed. So that's why he approaches them. Like, he'll approach Beauty and say, I can give you a glamour or money if you give me this,
right?
And whatever she gave him, and she never actually explained what she gave him, he could use to make glamours.
Yeah, so he's connecting everybody. I'm right. curious who was chained up in the
Yeah. So it was probably a troll or you know, one of the lesser fables that nobody would miss if they disappeared.
So,
right?
Kim, did you just go in there and kick ass or try to what did
no,
you do?
No, I just lit a cigarette, and as soon as I lit the cigarette, it went black. That was it. I was like, whoa, did I do something wrong? Yeah.
No, when I chose to listen, we sat in a chair, and he said, all right, tell me what's going on. And I was very polite to him, and he started to, you know, started to say, and then, of course,
then it goes. Yeah. So we mentioned Jersey Devil, and I kicked the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was seriously like, are we going to kill him? Are we going to kill him? Yeah. And then it just never happened.
Because Beauty and Beast ask you to take care of it. And that is taking care of it. Like,
no, I think it's whatever they gave the Crooked Man, they need it back.
Oh.
Right?
I thought they were just running from their debt.
No, I think it's, you know, it's probably something that means a lot to them. It can't be the rose, because I saw that in the apartment.
Right.
So it's maybe like their crown or maybe something else from the story that they gave him, and he's using it for the. This is just my theory, but, you know, she was like, you know, hey, can you help us out here? And I think that's what they want, because why else would the woodsman axe be there? You know, why are they actually keeping real artifacts there?
Yeah. Did you help the woodsman? Because I kind of softened up to him. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, I helped him.
I gave him a cigarette. I
said, no, what did you choose to do with Colin when Snow was being a bitch?
To the farm, Colin.
No, I said no. Really? Yep. I said no.
I said no. Colin can stay.
Nope. To the farm.
And did you guys notice?
You chose friendship over rules, which is damn straight I would.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did you notice Snow had on her shirt is snowflakes?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I never noticed that until this episode. I'm like, look, she's got snowflakes on her shirt. That is really cool. So I just looked up the origin of the Jersey Devil, and it's like a
it's an urban legend. Yeah.
Well, sort of, but it's a a fable? Well, I guess it's kind of a fable from 1735 and about this Mother Leeds, who has 12 children, and she finds out she's pregnant with the 13, and he comes and takes her baby, basically. And, you know, the Jersey Devil got her. So I guess it's not a, like, dramatic fairy tale, but it's more based in America.
That's very, very localized. If you didn't actually live in, you know, New York City or Jersey. There, I would guess you'd never heard of that before, or watch The Sopranos.
Well, what I'm saying, it's not just a modern urban legend,
like Candyman.
Yeah, like Candyman. It's an urban legend, you know, that's gone back. So it's more of a
almost a retelling story.
Yeah. Right.
So I had at the end of this episode, I had like a minor epiphany that all these choices we're making don't matter. Right.
Right.
They seriously don't matter.
No.
But because I was kind of irritated that they make a huge deal out of it, you know, and they tell you, hey, you chose this and blah, 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 when it really doesn't matter. Like, I was thinking back to the choices that I made in the previous episodes. Like I made the choice in the first episode to go to Faith's apartment.
Dun, 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 dun. Sorry.
And a party broke out.
Yeah.
But no, I saved Faith's husband. Have not seen or heard from him since. Faith's husband's alive. Does it matter? Apparently not. Didn't kill Tweedledee's or Dumb, whichever
one. Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I killed Tweedledee.
Doesn't matter.
Dumb or D. So, I think it was D.
Yeah, they're making this play that these choices matter and that I'm afraid
they
don't.
Well, maybe they do matter.
But does that matter to you, though?
It does, kind of. Yeah.
Why?
Because I feel when I'm playing the game, like the choices that I make
matter.
Are defining my character.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and they really aren't. Like, remember in the episode when we were interrogating Toad and I tried to not scare Toad Jr.?
Oh, yeah.
Does that matter? Because I wanted to change what people think of me, that everyone who saw me thought I was a jerk. And I was like, okay, then I'm going to make the conscious effort to just kind of be polite and reel it in. It doesn't matter. Everyone reacts to me the same no matter what. It really just doesn't matter. So I was kind of bummed when I
realized
that.
It might roll over. I'm sure. I think this game's been really successful. It may just, the choices you make may roll over in the type of character you're playing.
When I compare it to like The Walking Dead season one.
Yeah.
Right? And I look back at all the choices I made there, none of them mattered. Really, none of them did. In the end, none of them mattered.
But
because it ended the same way no matter what.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, they would have to spend how much money, you know, making all alternate endings where if the game is still enjoyable, which obviously that it's, you know, lessens your enjoyment of the game, you know, then – It doesn't affect my game one way or another.
Yeah, it doesn't really bother me much.
So I think it's just this is a $14 game versus a $60 game, you know?
It does
I pay $25, dang it.
It does kind of
Well, you see what I mean though. You see what I mean. That it's
right.
You know, they can't, the development on this game is a much shorter time frame. It's a different kind of game. They just can't spend that kind of money to make all of that.
Would you take a longer cycle if it did mean that the choices meant more?
And pay more for the game?
No, just a longer cycle.
Well, but the longer cycle means more money they're going to spend, which means the price of the game is probably going to go up. And I don't want to pay more for the game.
Yeah. And I honestly, I mean, it's a kind of it's a fake sense of control. And I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with it. I don't. I mean, and I know these really aren't. It's more an immediate satisfaction when I say that. Oh, they'll remember that, or they reacted this way. But you know, memories are short anyway. So
I think it just brings up different dialogue. To be honest with you, like Toad remembers that, so he's going to talk to you differently. Kind of like in Fallout New Vegas, where. Like, for instance, during the Dead Money, I couldn't.
Toad was still very angry with me this episode, and I've been nothing but nice to him.
He wasn't angry at me.
He was angry arguing in the office.
Well, yeah, but he wasn't talking to me.
But of course, he was arguing with a Bluebeard.
Yeah.
But when I, let's take, for example, The Walking Dead season two, I actually feel like Clementine is changing.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout this game, like from particularly obviously from season one, she's different. But even from episode one of season two to now, I feel she's a different character. And I hope that the choices that I'm making define that, because she's made really tough choices. And in particular, the last one I made her watch something that was very, very gruesome to make a point that, you know, this is reality and right. this is what I have to deal with from now on. And I have to be tougher about it. And I actually feel like her character is getting stronger throughout the series, whereas Bigby's kind of he's just the same. I mean, I was trying to be nice and be nice to Snow, but and I almost choked on my bile when I picked the thank you option. Oh, thank you for what you did in the alley. No, really, because you didn't do anything.
Yeah,
you just sat there until I got my ass handed to me, and then you handed over Crane, the very reason why I was fighting. Meh, whatever. Mm. But yeah, so I feel like these characters don't have growth. They're just telling a story, which is cool if that's what you want. But I feel Clementine is actually growing as a character.
But this is
in The Walking Dead,
and you're on season two of that,
right?
So it's a different.
But I mean, even in season one, she made a huge change from being an innocent girl who was left alone. So at the end, she made tremendous choices. Yeah. So she grew even in season one.
But did she grow just because they wrote her that way, or did she grow because of the choices you made?
Oh, who knows? We won't be able to, unless you talk to the developers. Well, yes, actually, that's because of the choices that you made.
Yeah.
That's all subjective.
Needless to say, these games are awesome.
They're totally awesome.
They do seem, it's funny because they seem so simple, and I'm like, but I love them so much. They're so engaging. Awesome. Okay. All right. Well, little boy is here. Probably should wrap this up. Well, Mateo's like, hey. I'm like, okay, buddy. So again, if you've listened this far, thanks for hanging out.
Yeah.
And take it easy. Bye.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.